Money FM 89.3, best of weekends.
Joining us, Philip Chua, the APAC head of public policy on Instagram, talking about the importance of child safety on social media. Philip, good morning. Welcome to Weekend Mornings.
Hey, good morning. Thanks for having me back on the show.
Pleasure.
Nice to have you with us today. And where are we at with child safety? Of course, many of us parents know that there are ways you can limit and block certain social media and certain content and things like that. What's been happening at Instagram lately around this, the tools, the features?
I'm on this show because I think we were really excited earlier this month to launch a parent's guide to safety on Instagram with the Media Literacy Council in Singapore. And it's a compendium that actually packs together all the features that we've been building over the past 10 years, mainly to keep people safe on Instagram, because there's no expression without safety. People wouldn't be telling their stories and finding their community if they didn't feel safe and supported on our platform. And I think what's special about this guide now isn't so much the collection of all the features and helping to educate and helping parents to understand the features and the abilities for them to kind of like protect their children at home. But I think more importantly, in partnership with the Media Literacy Council, we'll try to insert tips for conversation starters, because I think increasingly we are realizing that safety isn't just about the control and protection that you can have in place. But I think more importantly, it's also about the guidance and the conversations that you can have with your children at home, but how they can go into a full-fledged adult digital native.
Yeah, I mean, your timing is very important, as we know. There are instances of cyberbullying. They are on the rise around the world. Just this week, my wife is a teacher, and they sent out a memo, if you like, to all teachers on how to deal with students who are dealing with issues on social media. There have been cases at schools that I have visited where there's been aspects of cyberbullying. And I don't think older generations listening to this really appreciate how hurtful and damaging to a young person's mental health it can be if they feel attacked in any way on social media.
I liken it to back when we were in school and kids would start passing notes about one kid or another kid, right? But now amplify that by 100 or more, you know, or 1,000 times, right?
And which is also kind of like a pyramid scheme, because then that person shares it with the next person, and before you know it, the whole school has seen it.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I think it's a wonderful initiative you've brought in. I really do, Philip. And so what are some of the aspects of this collaboration? What are some of the tips, the do's and don'ts, whatever you want to call it? What are some of the key takeaways from this initiative?
Yeah. Let me pick up a bit on the cyberbullying, because I think it's an area where Instagram has been trying to lead the industry on. And I think one of the immediate takeaways that we have is that, you know, you both are entirely right. This is extremely detrimental for a young person. But I think one thing we are seeing across the world is that cyberbullying happens to everyone.
Yeah.
And it isn't just happening to young people, it's happening to adults also.
Yeah.
And I think what is tricky here is that maybe it's disproportionately felt by young people, not just because they are on their way to finding themselves in their full-fledged identity, but I think increasingly, you know, this idea of a digital native, their entire lives are entirely integrated with their online identities, and it's a very important part. Around this area, I think I just have 3 points to share very quickly. I think there's a role and responsibility here for platforms like Instagram to do our best to prevent harm like this from happening in the first place. And that goes to our proactive detection, our technologies, our investments here. In the past quarter, we've actually shifted proactive detection from 55% to 80%, which means that 80% of any content relating to bullying and harassment is actually found by us and removed before a user even sees it.
How do you do that?
But I think there's a lot more here.
Sorry to jump in, Philip. How do you do that? Do you have certain algorithms that find certain words? How do you do that?
That's right. We have algorithms that find words. We have classifiers that are working not just on text, but also on media. And a lot of it is also informed by a community that is actively reporting.
Mm.
If we know from you that this makes you feel uncomfortable, we are reviewing this against our rules and community guidelines on Instagram. And all that falls into making the technology more robust in the future. And that's actually maybe a place for me to segue, because it isn't just about what we can proactively take down. I think it's also about the opportunities here for educating. Mm-hmm. And one of the features we've highlighted in the safety guide for parents is a new feature that we've launched in the past year, comment and caption warnings. And that's going to be a case where if you are posting something on Instagram that looks very similar to something that was previously reported that made people feel uncomfortable, we are going to proactively push to you and tell you, are you sure you want to do this?
Wow.
This looks very similar to something that's made people feel uncomfortable. And give people an opportunity, I guess, to reflect and to understand, I think, the opportunity here for empathy, that there is, I think, Neil, as you say, there is a human being with emotions behind that account and behind that handle. And we should be behaving online the same way we behave to each other offline.
Yeah, very interesting. Talking with Philip Chua, the APAC head of public policy at Instagram. Philip, you know, one challenge that we as parents have, I've got an 11-year-old and a 14-year-old. We try to monitor what they're doing, but it's hard, right? They've got their phones. They're on the school bus or or public transportation. There are hours of the day when we are not monitoring what they're doing. How do parents... What are the do's and don'ts for parents? How do we jump in there and actively advocate for our kids to make sure the content they're seeing is safe and healthy?
And I think that's where the Parents Guide really goes into it. I think part of it is, you know, as parents, there is an opportunity here for you to understand what Instagram is about and what features there, you know, your child at home should be availing him or herself of. But I think more importantly, what we want to stress is that need for continued conversation. It's probably very difficult to have a conversation when something bad happens. It's probably easier to have a regular conversation of, you know, what did you see on Instagram today? Or did something on social media make you feel uncomfortable? Mm-hmm. And take it from there. And another important takeaway, I think, that we've been learning from parents around the world is that this is really a two-way process. Not just a two-way process in terms of a conversation, but also in terms of learning. And I think increasingly we are seeing that, you know, just as teens can learn from their parents about, you know, the do's and don'ts of life. I think at the same time, parents also can learn from their child about, you know, what constitutes acceptable behavior. And on that basis, decide, you know, where the intervention is warranted and how I can guide my team to feel better and, you know, digest that and insert that into, I think, you know, the arsenal of just experiences to deal with life.
Philip, you raised a good point just now about it's not just kids, teenagers, who experience bullying and attacks on social media. Firstly, I just want to clarify, Instagram does have an age limit, doesn't it?
It does. I feel like we've talked about this before, so it's 13.
You were the one who pulled me up last time. I just remembered. You're absolutely right, because my daughter's still 12. That's right, and she doesn't have an account. So I want to make that clear to everybody. Nobody under the age of 13. So on that point, what are some of the things you're seeing with, because there is an assumption sometimes that it's just kids and it's just teenagers. That isn't the case. I've had some horrendous abuse myself on social media, as I'm sure many of our, hopefully not many, but some of our listeners might have had as well. What are some of the do's and don'ts or suggestions for, you know, older people, for adults, for working adults who are dealing with these issues on social media?
Yep. I think there are a few that I would love to share. I think first and foremost, one behavior that we would love to encourage from anyone on Instagram is report anything. Report anything that makes you feel uncomfortable. Report anything that you feel doesn't belong on Instagram. As I mentioned earlier in our conversation, that helps our technology get better. Mm. But once you report something, we are going to recommend to you remediation actions. You might want to block, you might want to mute the person. And that's very common features that you see across social media platforms. Another area that we have launched in the past year is this new feature on Instagram called Restrict. And that's really coming through learning not just from young people and how they interact with the platform, but also adults. Oftentimes, blocking is a very, very strong social signal. Mm. The person being blocked is immediately going to know that you have blocked him. And that may lead to very awkward conversations in the canteen, at the water cooler, what have you. Restrict prevents the abuser from being seen by your entire audience. And at the same time, it also kind of like puts this person in isolation room, so to speak. Mm. And you're not going to get notifications or be bothered by the person anymore. And I think it's that granularity of features that we have tried to put in place. We are going to keep Instagram as safe as possible, but we want to make sure that you have customized tools that befit the circumstances and experiences you're going through.
Can I just clarify that one point about the restricting function? Is it similar to the muting function in Twitter? So they're kind of in the sin bin, but they're not blocked, and they don't know that they've been restricted. Is that correct?
It's similar, and we also have a muting function on Instagram. The difference between muting and restrict is that your entire community, people who follow you, also will not be able to see that person's interaction.
I like that. And the person you've restricted doesn't necessarily know. Is that correct?
The person you restricted wouldn't know at all.
That's a great point. I just want to say that's a great point because I'm going to say this. There's been I've had family members. We've all had it, right? I'm going to say it, and I know people listening will feel the same. In the age of Trump, in the age of Brexit, in rising xenophobia and nationalism, race issues, people close to us, and listeners will empathise with this, have said things that they're not happy with. But they can't necessarily block them because they are family members or they are close work colleagues, but you just don't want them on your feed. So this new restricting function, I would imagine, caters precisely to that. Would that be fair?
I think you're exactly right. And the other bit that I will speak to here also is that insofar as your community and your audience would not see this person's interactions, we think it has a very, very important impact also in setting the tone. We've also allowed people to pin positive comments to the top of their posts. And I think that goes a long way to, you know, really just framing the kind of conversation that happens on the profile, which you should be entirely in control of.
Yeah, I like that.
Philip, you know, you have this new parents guide, the Instagram parents guide. First of all, where do we find it? And secondly, what can parents expect to get out of that? What are the topics that are in there?
Yeah, we're currently hosting the Singaporean version of the guide on two places. You can find it at the Media Literacy Council website, or more broadly, you can find it on the Instagram website, about.instagram.com. I think what parents coming to this guide can expect a couple of things. It's a very compelling read, end-to-end, of course, if you want to really do the one-on-ones of everything on Instagram. But I think the way we have approached this also is to really break it up into topics. If you and I think that's probably going to be more tailored for the experience of an individual average parent. You probably would be wanting to have conversations with child specifically about privacy, or about time management, or about a recent maybe bullying incident or something that made them feel uncomfortable about. And we have exactly broken up those the guide into those sections so that the parent coming in into that section would have not just at his or her fingertips the tools relating to privacy, for example, on Instagram, but also conversation starters that we have pulled from experts to exactly start that communication and dialogue with child at home.
Wow. Philip, I'm going to ask you something here as you're at Instagram, and I'm not just saying it because you work for Instagram, but a celebrity I like said something in an interview that really struck with me. He's an actor called Nick Frost. He's in films like Shaun of the Dead and Hot Fuzz and so on, and he's from the same hometown as me. Anyway, this interview, he said, I've stopped using, and I won't name the names, but he said, I've stopped using other social media platforms, and I exclusively use Instagram now. Because I just find it a kinder social media platform. And I started doing something similar. I've also stopped using certain other social media platforms, and I use Instagram a little bit more. And I do find, and this is just my own personal observation, not because you're on the show, I do find that Instagram generally seems to be a friendlier platform than some of the other social media platforms. Why do you think that is? Is it because of these stringent policies that you have in place? You're very proactive. Or is it more the nature of the medium? It's more photographs. Mm. It's more videos. It's not so news-centric and not so polarizing. Because it does seem to be, generally, a kind of platform.
No, thank you for that. I appreciate the compliment. I think we have worked really, really hard all this while on safety. And at Facebook and Instagram combined, at this point, we're spending more on safety than Facebook's revenue when it first IPO'd. And so I think it's a tremendous investment that we've been putting into this place. But I think, Leo, I think you're onto something. There's something about Instagram. We are visual first. Mm. People come to Instagram to follow their interests and be inspired by people that they love and that they want to emulate. And I think that lends itself to many communities focused on individual stories, individual passions, and hopefully sometimes not very contentious debate.
Yeah, I think you're right. And the visual platform doesn't work for me because I have a big mouth and I don't have many followers on Instagram. So if you could do something, Philip, to amplify my followers, you know, just give me some bots or something on Instagram because I have a new book coming out soon and I need to promote it. So give me some bots.
Man, should we have Neil? Just have you on, Neil?
I'm joking.
We'll interview you this day.
Yeah. You should do what we are doing right now. I mean, I will definitely tune into your Instagram live.
Well, that could be the next thing. We'll get our show on Instagram Live. We'll get Philip to help.
There's no reason not to.
You'll be our first guest. Instagram Live.
All right. Looking forward to it.
Philip, so great to talk with you. Philip Chua, the APAC head of public policy at Instagram. Please come back on and again in the future and tell us how it's all going and what the uptake's been and how we can keep our kids even safer in the future.
Thank you for this. Have a great Saturday.
To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at moneyfm893.sg or download the SPH radio app available on Google Play or the App Store.